When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everyone? Taylor Kyles here for CLNS Media, coming at you with another episode of Pat's Daily, brought to you by our good friends at Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Continuing our draft week coverage, we're doing another mock draft with one of my favorite people in this business who's extremely well-informed, absolutely killing it over at the NFL Stock Exchange show with Trevor Sikkema, also part of the NBC Sports NFL Draft and Fantasy Football Happy Hour, another one of the absolute busiest people in the business this time of year, so really appreciative he made the time. Connor Rogers. Connor, how you doing, buddy? Are you hanging in there?
Taylor, I'm good, man. I love this time of year. I appreciate you having me. The Patriots are such an interesting team going into this draft. It's just a lot of fun to talk about them and the draft as a whole right now.
Speaking of which, I know you are doing your series where you kind of take control and try to get your own perspective on how these teams should go about retooling their rosters. So what's your perspective on the Patriots post-free agency? Obviously, didn't make a ton of splash in terms of out-of-house signings. I know they tried the whole Calvin Ridley thing, but at the end of the day, came down to money. And the quarterback situation probably didn't help either. But they did do a good job retaining some of their key players. And as Elliott Wolf said last week, they have NFL receivers, NFL offensive linemen. They still just need that long-term answer at quarterback. But in terms of the overall roster, where do you feel like the team stands right now?
It feels like a team that's started to lay out, you know, somewhat of a ground floor, but they need difference makers. And I think they'll be the first to tell you that. That's the thing with New England right now, is that you have guys that you can kind of lean on, like Kendrick Bourne. I know he's coming off injury, but Kendrick Bourne, to me, is a guy that you know exactly what he is. You could trust. You look at some... bringing back Mike Onwenu, right? Like that's a ground floor kind of guy. Okay, let's build this thing around him with the offensive line. Young players that are going to step into key roles on the offensive line, like a City. So we've seen Cole Strange play a lot already. So I think with the Patriots, and a lot of that could be said about the defense as well, right? Kyle Duggar's in the fold for the long term. Christian Gonzalez, I thought he was a top 10 player last year for that draft. I don't know why he's... Well, I mean, I there's nothing bad of why he slid. It's just teams overthinking. No world should Emmanuel Forbes be drafted over him. So the Patriots really made out like bandits getting that kind of pick. He'll be back from injury. He's going to be a top flight corner. So they have some really baseline guys, but now maybe go get a guy on offense that can scare you a little bit and maybe look at your defense and go, okay, besides Judon coming back from injury, who's going to rush the passer for us, right? Is Keon White going to take a step? And he was a guy I really liked last year. So this is a roster that I don't think it's thin. I think you just want to see a blue chip or two added at a premium spot.
Absolutely. Also, one of the reasons are my favorites, giving City though a shout out. I feel like he's not getting nearly enough love. Obviously had some ups and downs last season, but considering he spent the entire summer at tackle, like when I asked him how he thought he did last season, he's like, yeah, man, I didn't really get to play guard till the regular season and finally kind of figured it out, which was really impressive. Excited to see what he does in year two. And you kind of mentioned the edge position. Everybody talks about quarterback, receiver, and left tackle for very fair reasons. Those are premium offensive spots that need to be addressed long-term. But at the same time, I feel like there are also some sneaky needs on this team. You mentioned Cole Strange and his health situation, but also on the defense. Like, I had my old roster breakdown, decided to add tags for all the 2025 free agents, and was like, oh, their defense is non-existent pretty much next year, except for some of their young guys. So are there any positions of need that you feel like may be underlooked right now and could use some attention in the draft?
Right. And you nailed it. Like, everybody talks about the quarterback situation with this team. You hear offensive line and wide receiver. You know, when you look at defense right now, you kind of sit there and go, okay, how do we feel about, once again, the rotation of rushers that we have right now? How about another interior defensive lineman, right? And you have Christian Barmore there. Obviously, we know all about him. But can you get another big body on this defensive line that maybe makes life easier next to Keon White or next to Matthew Judon? So I think speed is something I would prioritize for this defense. I want more guys that can run and chase. I want more guys that have a quick step off the ball. And Josh Uche is back on what a bargain deal that is. So, you know, on passing downs, like you could put Uche on the field and you know what kind of rusher he is. But I think more players in that mold, that speed is so, so important for this team. And you could argue maybe for the interior defensive line, getting another guy like that as well. And this draft is so interesting because it's not a draft where in the top 50, you're going to hear six defensive linemen's name, interior guys called, and they're going to be stars all around type of players. You're really looking at it and getting role players. You have pass rushers for rounds 3 to 5. You have run stuffers for rounds 3 to 5. And I think that's kind of a bargain rack that New England can attack and get some value on later in the draft to beef up the front of that front seven.
And DeMarcus Covington did say, getting pressure, getting sacks, and turnovers are two big areas of emphasis for this season. Places where, for understandable reasons, without Judon and Gonzalez, they did lack in last season. But really, even see where they let Lawrence Guy go for understandable reasons. He's getting up there in age. Seemed like there was a contract thing going on. But also seemed to kind of replace him with Armon Watts, who's a guy who's still, I think, very sturdy as a run defender, but brings more pass rush. And it feels like that's kind of where they're leaning. Maybe they unleash Josh Uche, kind of let him really pin his ears back and rush the passer. Whereas last season, obviously, health kind of worked against him. But you also saw there was so much contain and a lot of moments where he couldn't use that ghost move and really use his explosiveness. So hopefully in this game, we will see some more explosiveness from the defensive side of the ball. Before we get into the mock draft, we do have to address the quarterback situation. Everybody has their different flavor of who they want at the third overall pick. Also, some people very understandably saying, hey, the Patriots would trade out. Quarterback's a position where the hit rate isn't super high, even with high picks like this. Maybe they trade and try to get somebody a little later. What do you think the Patriots should be doing with the number three pick?
Right, and it depends how the board falls. Because for me, I just go by my rankings. Caleb Williams will be gone. That makes that conversation really quick and concise. I think Drake May is a really good quarterback prospect. I understand the lows. I understand the bust potential, which you could argue for every quarterback in every single draft. I understand the inconsistencies. He's a young quarterback, right? Like Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, they play a lot more football than the guys ahead of them right now. They are fifth-year type of players. They are all transferred. With Drake May, you're looking at a situation where that offense wasn't any good. He's pressured a ton. He developed bad habits. You're going to have to develop the bad habits out of him. If he's there at three, there's no world where I'm passing on Drake May. And I know that's not popular anymore. And I understand for New England, I've often argued for them, like, take Marvin Harrison Jr. and figure out the quarterback situation later. When I was saying that, a lot of it was that I thought the draft would go Caleb Williams and Drake May. And then you're picking in the pool of Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, where I'm like, if you're New England, those quarterback prospects are fine. I don't know if I want to draft fine at number three. I think I'd want a difference maker. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a difference maker. And then when your next, you know, successor comes into the fold, he's coming into a situation where his number one wide receiver is pretty clear cut with Marv. Mm-hmm. Now that there's been more drama where it seems like Jaden Daniels could be the number two overall pick in the draft, and that's far from a lock. Drake May, this is not a bad landing spot. I think he could sit behind Jacoby Brissett. I think New England, we're going to talk about that second round pick, can address receiver there. So that's, and how many times are you going to be picking at the top of the draft where there's a talent like Drake May that falls into your lap? The answer is not often, right? It doesn't matter how bad you are. Doesn't, like, not every draft has quarterbacks of this caliber of talent. Not every draft year are you just picking in the top three, even if you're a bad team. I mean, sometimes you just stumble into some wins at the end of the year. So I think at the end of the day, that's what has me torn in this situation, is that, is Drake May going to be there? That's basically the only question I have.
Yeah, for me, it's like, what does your board say? If you really do feel comfortable with Drake May or Jaden Daniels or obviously J.J. McCarthy, who, please, not at three.
Like, I can't do that at three.
Yeah, no, I understand the case for it, but I would be very uncomfortable if he was the pick, especially if Drake were on the board. I'm with you with Jaden Daniels. I think he's more floor than ceiling, which I didn't think earlier on in the process.
I agree.
I watch, it's just like the size, the arm strength, the fact that obviously he has improved significantly, which is big. But there are parts of his game that make me worried when it's like, you have a great offensive line, great receiving core. Why exactly is your processing still kind of delayed? Why are there these weird parts of your game? Some of that can come down to coaching, like how it seemed like he was ready to tuck and run a little too quickly. It's like, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, his coaches were like, you are the most explosive athlete on the field. If you see a lane, take advantage. And then guys like Penix and McCarthy, like we already talked about, I just don't think they're the guys at number three. But Drake is the guy where if you coach him up, put him in that Alex Van Pelt scheme, where he can work on his footwork throughout the year. A really rare thing for quarterbacks to have that advantage of a guy who's like, no, you're doing the footwork this way. We're going to rep it every day. I can teach you how to fix it. Because usually those guys are more X's and O's, talking matchups and things like that. And you just work on your fundamental stuff at the beginning of practice. So I'm with you. If Drake May's there, run the card up. If he's not, that's where I'm kind of more open to some potential trade scenarios. So we are going to get into a mock draft. I'm very excited. But first, quick word from our friends at Prize Picks. Be right back.
Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball and hockey entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. I personally love Prize Picks because they're super easy to use, easy to navigate, and they offer injury insurance, so your entries stay live even if one of your players gets injured. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
All right, now let's fire up the old mock draft machine. We got a 7-rounder queued up. Let's get – so no trade before we start, right? We're waiting to see how the board falls.
Let's see how the board falls, and we'll make our decision. As I said with the quarterbacks, I really want to see what happens here at 2.
Mm-hmm. Yep, let's do it, brother.
All right. All right.
Drake is gone. Things got interesting immediately.
So for me, I know a lot of Patriots fans won't agree with this. I'm not taking Jaden Daniels at 3. I think if in this scenario, they would, by the way. We're playing the – and how do you want to play this? Do you want to play this where we predict it or simply what I would do?
This is your board, buddy.
We're right. Doing what you want. I love that because I'm tired of trying to predict things. I've been doing it for a year. I like to show, you know, how things can kind of play out. Now, if there was a trade on the table here, like with the Giants, right? If the Giants want to come up for one of the quarterbacks, you'd ask yourself, well, do we go back to 6? The problem with that is, does it kind of put you in no man's land? You watch Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers go in front of you, and then you're sitting there at 6, and you're like, okay, we got picks, but we didn't get a blue chip player we wanted. So, listen, I understand the thought process of people, and I understand Robert Kraft and the Patriots as a whole are probably thinking, we need a future of this franchise. We got to sell tickets. We want somebody working behind Jacoby that's going to be the guy up next. But in this scenario, Taylor, I'm taking Marvin Harrison Jr., and I feel really, really good about it, honestly.
I like that. All right, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the pick. I've done a couple of these. We haven't gotten Marvin Harrison Jr.
I bet.
Exciting.
Yeah, right. It's one of those where it just felt like a reach no matter which quarterback I took at 3 once Drake May was off the board. And, you know, now we're at 34. How did the quarterbacks end up going? Let's scroll up and take a look, just out of curiosity. So McCarthy went to the Giants at 6.
Mm-hmm.
Daniels went to the Jets at 10. This draft is totally off the rails.
Yeah, geez Louise. You'd think he'd probably more realistically go to the Vikings, but hey, you know what? That is how the board falls. We keep the randomness just a smidge there for a reason. All right, so now let's look at the quarterback market, or are you open to
anybody? Well, let's see if any quarterbacks fell to 34. Because this is the draft, anything can happen. I mean, I'm taking Michael Penix at 34. Like, this is Michael Penix to me is a top 20 player. I really, really like him. If New England found a way to trade out of 3 and still get him and add all this draft capital, I would applaud it. That's a lot easier said than done. That's not an easy maneuver to pull off. If Penix falls to 34, which let's be fair, his draft betting line is set at 32.5. So I know a lot of people will say, no way he falls to 34. I agree. I'm almost certain he is going in the first round. But if you go by the lines, this isn't out of control. I have to take Penix at 34. The combination of him and Marvin Harrison Jr., by the way, is an unbelievable thought.
That'd be fair. Literally just his Rome Odunze replacement, pretty much.
Yes. Better version.
Right. And I'm actually curious, what are your thoughts on Penix's game? Because I know Derek Klassen does a great job charting all these guys. Yeah. Pointed out that while we kind of think of Penix as a super accurate guy, he's really not. Is he clutch? Is he fantastic throwing outside and downfield? Yes. But there are also significant moments where he has some pretty bad spray misses. Like Drake May is the one who gets all the flack for those kinds of plays, but they show up in Penix's tape as well. But at the same time, He also is more athletic, I think, than he gets credit for, despite the fact he didn't scramble very much last season. So where do you stand on him as a prospect overall?
The thing he doesn't get any credit for, which is insane to me, is his pre-snap recognition, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you, when you watch him get to the line of scrimmage, and let's also, you know, quantify it, he's taken 16 sacks over the last two seasons, 8 sacks per year. That is a wildly low number. Him and Bo Nix were elite at not taking sacks. So for me with Penix, one, I think the throws he was asked to make are much more difficult, which kind of dives into, yeah, he's not always accurate, but he's also making some of the most pro throws out of this entire quarterback class. Also, the throws he's hitting are game-changing throws. He's hitting deep outs. He's challenging the field vertically. He's challenging the intermediate part of the field. He stresses the defense to all layers of the field. So I like Penix. I think people don't give him enough credit for that pre-snap ability. He's a really smart player. He's got a howitzer of an arm. Yes, he'll have misses. There's a lot of high-end quarterback prospects that have big arms that have misses. I'll take the splash plays with him, especially in this scenario where we're pairing him with a receiver that can cover up some of his deficiencies.
And that playoff game against Texas, I feel like, was the game we saw. Just how dangerous it is. He even said after the game, as respectfully as possible, it's like, yeah, they didn't change the picture, so I tore him apart. And you saw it. One, they're just in split safeties like the entire game. And then sometimes they're not even executing them right, because you have the one where he throws to the post in the end zone where safety looked like he was supposed to take the inside, didn't. And Penix is like, all right, you're going to give me an alley-oop. I'll freaking take it. So I agree. That's definitely an area of his game that doesn't get talked about enough. So we're locking in the pick. We got our quarterback. We got our wide receiver. Thinking tackle at this spot? Or are you still open for business at another position?
Let's take a look at the board and see what we have on the offensive line right now. I would definitely be curious to see what our tackle situation is looking like. I imagine it's falling off. Okay, so for me in this spot, I would take Blake Fisher. And I know New England is in a situation where, you know, you kind of have an opening at left tackle. I get Fisher played on the right side. I think he's athletic enough to eventually develop on the left side if you wanted him to. And I just think he's the best player in this spot. Where I look at, I like New England at guard right now, and I look at Coleman and Pooney and maybe even Gonzalez and Isaiah Adams. Like, they are guards to me. So I'm not taking one of them because I like New England's interior offensive line right now. I need a guy that has the athleticism and length to play tackle. That's Blake Fisher.
All right. And actually, do you think that he is a good fit for the left side? Because obviously, you know, he's not really questioning that with Notre Dame with Joe Alt over there, but he profiles as more of a right tackle. But at the same time,
yeah,
I feel like there is some flexibility there, although he'd probably just be a bigger guy for that left tackle spot.
Right. And you have to wonder, is this a scenario where, hey, we're going to see what we have in him as a left tackle? We know Onwenu has had success at guard as well. If City So doesn't work out, it's a weird situation because you are taking a guy and you're saying, hey, maybe it's not going to work out where we want to play him, but he's the talent, and you don't want to start under or like overthinking and not taking the talent in that spot. Because I mean, you look at this board right now, like there's, who's the true left tackle right here? Caden Wallace played right tackle. You could argue Christian Jones. I just don't think he's good enough to be a top 75 pick. That seems insane to me. I guess before we take Fisher, and I really wanted to go offensive line here, what is the defensive board looking like in this spot?
Let's check it out. Also, Walter Rouse. And this is a later round guy, but I'm curious what you think, because I've heard this isn't a guy I've gotten to watch a ton. I couldn't find any tape on him, but I've heard he might be more of a guard. Do you feel the same way, or do you think he's a guy who could stick at tackle and maybe even whether it's on the left or the right side? I know he spent most of his career on the left.
The Shrine reps were really good. I mean, he looked like a smooth mover, where I'd like to give him a shot at tackle before I just kick him inside right away at, you know, at the next level. And that's really how offensive line coaches think. If a guy shows any glimpse of a chance on tape, you go into camp and at least give him that chance. And if it doesn't work out, you can quickly pivot.
Fair enough. All right, I might have to add him to my big board. I feel bad I left him off. All right, Brandon Dorlus is a guy that the Patriots did have in for a 30 visit. I love Rook Yes, I'm just going to take your word for it. I can never get it out the first try. Junior Colson, really talented linebacker.
He's awesome.
Let's see what else we get. Yeah, it looks like those are Kalen Bolick as well. Probably, yeah, I think he's pretty fair in this kind of range. So what do you think about the defensive guys? Are you swayed?
Am I going to get killed if I go off-ball linebacker here?
You might, but you know what? I like it. Controversy's okay.
I don't want to go completely off the wall position. I know they have some talent there. That's the full transparency for Patriots fans. Like, that's the best way the board fell. Junior Colson and Edgerrin Cooper are two of my top players available in this spot. I guess another route you could go, as Ramondre's body is kind of broken down at times. And I know they signed Antonio Gibson, but like I want an offense that scares me. It's more explosive. Jalen Wright, he really excites me in this spot. Mm-hmm. If depending how you feel about City, so if you're not overly confident in him, Christian Haynes is an excellent right guard prospect. Yeah. How did the corners fall in this spot?
Also, because I feel like the argument here is if Blake Fisher is someone you think can start immediately or at least within his first year, then, you know, I'm probably more leaning there. But if you think he's a developmental prospect,
yeah,
I feel like with developmental left tackles, there are enough where you can get a guy or two on day three who may not have the upside, but, you know, then it's like, all right, if this guy's not going to play in year one, maybe we get a contributor. So here are the corners. I'm a huge Renardo Green guy. If they can make that happen, I would be over the moon.
It's just a little early for me with Green, and I like the player, but it's just a tad early. All right, let's look at the interior D-line, and then I will definitely make a choice.
All right, let's see. It's thorough, though. I like it. All right, yeah, so Dorless, Rook, Michael Hall Jr.
All right, this is going to surprise you. I'm going to take Michael Hall Jr. in this spot. I think the pass rush ability is awesome. He is very twitchy and agile. That arm over move, the counter spin – this is a different kind of player that I don't think New England has right now in their front. He's going to be rotated in, but that's the way the game is played right now anyway. I think Hall's a top 75 player. I have no problem taking him at 68. He's actually 69th on my board.
Okay. Do you think he's more of a nose or more of a three tech kind of guy?
You could play him on nose when it's passing downs and you're just saying, hey, beat the center, beat the guard. When you're on more traditional downs, I'm thinking three tech.
Okay. All right. Let's lock it in. And, you know, Devon Godchaw is a free agent next season. I feel like they're going to try to figure something out to keep him there. But then you talk about Armon Watts. If he's gone next year, then
right, you're always kind New of England drafts 2 years ahead, too. They're not right. Thinking all the time like, hey, we can only take a guy that's going to, you know, be an impact player for us this year.
Mm-hmm. Great point. All right. Now, do we want to start looking at tackles round four?
Yeah, let's see how the board fell. I see Cooper Beebe's there, too. He's a really, really good player. See, this is the problem in this spot. Like, it's the same problem of right tackle. Like, Caden Wallace is a right tackle, right? I like a lot of these other guys at guard. It's just, it kind of makes you go through the exercise, and you're like, okay, is this a situation where I should have gone tackle earlier? How is New England going to value that? You know, do you take one? We had to take Penix at 34, but the tackle board was much better at 34. I kind of align with you of our strategy of a situation that's, you know, hey, we're just going to keep waiting and waiting for a developmental guy instead. I would look more pass rush again, or I would even go back to the running back well again.
Okay. And too early for Javon Foster, more like a late fourth
round.
Yeah,
Foster's probably more we're leaning the fifth, sixth round.
Gotcha. Okay. So running back and pass rusher. Let's see what we got. Edge rusher specifically. Blake Watson is a guy I'm a big.
He's a riser.
I like him.
Yeah, he's a riser here. It's crazy if I go undersized rusher again. Mo Kamara is one of my favorite players in the draft. If you want more pass rush, the running back board, Estime is really underrated. I think 103 might be a hair early. I like Watson. This even feels a hair early. He's kind of fifth roundish for me. Let's go back to wide receiver and see if there's still more value there. I don't mind double dipping at this position.
Me neither, brother. We're on the same page.
Yeah, so let's get some speed here and take Jamari Thrash. Now we have somebody that can work vertically, can catch the screen and kind of make you miss. Him, Marv, Kendrick Bourne, KJ Osborne. You have a lot of variety, I think, in this group.
And then, like, from the outside, you could say, okay, this kind of overlaps with Pop Douglas. But at the same time, I keep saying this. With Pop in the concussion situation last season,
right,
that worries me, and you can't act like it's not a factor in his long-term outlook. So I think having some insurance policy for the slot, especially if Juju isn't on the team this season, I think could probably be very important.
That's exactly right.
Yep. All right. Jamari Thrash, we got our double dip at wide receiver. See if anybody felt. I feel like Javon Foster is going to be here.
I'm not surprised. Okay, so I'm going to surprise you here, though. This is another me going into my board versus the consensus. Mm-hmm. I would take KT Leviston from Kansas State here. Leviston, to me, projects better at guard, but you can give him a shot at left tackle. He's a mauler. He's a bruiser, depending what this run game wants to be. Leviston is severely underrated. I see the ADP is 208 on that. KT Leviston is not going at 208. KT Leviston is going in the top 150. We're at pick 137. I'm taking talent on the offensive line.
He's honestly a prospect I'm not super familiar with. So
dude, he's awesome. You can't miss him when you watch Cooper Beebe. He's a hell of a player.
Hell yeah. All right. I know PFF's going to crush us for this, but you know what? I trust you.
Why we make the boards.
That's right. All right. So we got our tackle. We got two receivers. We got a quarterback. And we got an interior rusher. You thinking maybe secondary here?
Yeah, Kamal Hayden is staring me right in the face. I love this guy. I think he is. So he got hurt in the end of October. He had a shoulder injury that put him down for the year. Those seven games were as good as any corner in the country, in my opinion. He's tall. He's fast. He's bursty. He makes plays on the ball. He can carry receivers vertically. He's a true perimeter corner. This is immense value at 180. I love taking Kamal Hayden here.
Yeah, don't even need to think twice about this. Lock it in. He's another guy I was really excited about. I loved his tape, but it was just the injury where you're like, all right, you're probably going to be able to wait for him. If he falls to the Patriots, I feel like it's a no-brainer. All right, now who do we got left?
Isaac Garendo or Rasheen Ali would be fun to add to this backfield here. I think with Garendo, I would like him at 193 because the athleticism, getting him to play up to that athleticism all the time. You're drafting him. You have depth at running back where you're not throwing him in, but he's giving you a home run threat that I don't see in this backfield.
Right. I agree. Tell me about Rasheen Ali, another guy I'm not super familiar with.
Ali 2 years ago, because he had an injury, I believe, 2 years ago. So really 3 years ago was unbelievable. And he's been working his way back to get healthy. But with Ali, he's somebody that I really like the quick feet. He was super productive for that Marshall backfield. He's got pretty average size, notable burst, jump cuts, change of direction, workhorse experience. He caught 46 passes in 2021, so he's got experience as a pass catcher. If Garendo wasn't on the board, I think Ali is the better player right now when healthy. Garendo has way more upside and is the better athlete, and that's the kind of darts you take on day three at running back.
Absolutely, I agree. We're going for upside, especially since we already have a 1-2 punch. This is a guy who can rotate in and then kind of work to being the guy who lives up to his potential, so I like that. Garendo, welcome to New England. I don't know why I said that like Ron Burgundy.
We think he's going to show up.
All right. Seventh round, last pick. I don't think Jalen – I feel like we got to respect the board to some degree. I don't think Jalen Simpson's going to be here.
No, I wouldn't do that either. I mean, once I would take him, but I agree. It just feels like it's not fair or conventional. I really like Tanner McLaughlin. I know we've gone very heavy pass catcher in this draft. So let's look at New England. I mean, you obviously have Hunter Henry back in the fold. Austin Hooper's not going to be there very long. Right. Tanner McLaughlin as my tight end three with legit run after catch ability. That would be really interesting to me. How is our developmental tackle situation looking if we don't take him?
Let's see. Frank Crum's an interesting guy.
He is. Nathan Thomas is a really good guard convert. We already did that with KT Leviston. We don't need to go down that road again.
Right. What do you think about Delmar Glaze? I didn't love him at the Senior Bowl, to be honest.
No, and he didn't test well at all, which you just go concern after concern throughout the process. I don't like this board, to be honest with you. This has been a learning experience for New England with tackle. It didn't go very well for us. I would probably take McLaughlin and just take the talent in this situation.
I like it too. He was a fun guy to watch. I saw a couple games and was like, I don't know why people aren't talking about him more. Like, a lot of these guys are more projections where you're looking for the upside, but he's someone where I'm like, no, Tip Raymond's kind of in that same category, although he's more your like inline wide blocker projection as a receiver. But I think McLaughlin's a guy who could contribute on any down pretty quickly, although maybe not your starter, but definitely a guy in the rotation. All right, lock it in. Let's see how we did. How much hate did we get from the PFF grades? Oh, we did pretty well early on. An F for Michael Hall.
Yeah, they don't value him like I do, but they gave us a B+. Listen, we got our future franchise quarterback. We got a soon-to-be top 10 receiver in the NFL. Michael Hall is going to rush the passer on passing downs from the interior. Jamari Thrash gives you a vertical threat. KT Leviston, if he doesn't work at tackle, he's going to be a really good mauling guard. Kamal Hayden gives you depth at perimeter corner. Isaac Garendo, high upside running back with an elite athletic profile, is your third down, your third running back on the roster. Tanner McLaughlin's almost the same thing at tight end. Your third tight end on the roster, good athleticism, pass catching, good after the catch. So this is how you become a more explosive team in my eyes.
And what do the Patriots really need? Offensively, they need to be more explosive and more athletic. Absolutely address that. You've got your long-term quarterback, like you said. And defensively, you're looking for depth, especially athletic guys who can kind of fit the mold of where the Patriots seem like they're starting to lean, less of the big, you know, space eaters and more towards that disruptiveness and playmakers on the back end. So I think we did a damn bang up job, brother. I'm proud.
I love it.
Well done. All right. That was a great time, man. Once again, appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. Please let the people know where they can find you and what excellent stuff you got coming for draft week.
Yeah, everything written NBCSports.com. Top 300 big board during draft week, final mock draft, all of our content on the NFL and NBC YouTube channel. You could listen to every position rankings on the NFL Stock Exchange YouTube channel with PFF. Taylor, I always love talking to you, man. You do such a great job covering the Patriots. Obviously, we are in familiar surroundings. I do Jets pre and post game, so it's always good to have that AFC East conversation. And hopefully people like this draft today. It's probably one of the more unique ones you'll have.
And that was the point, man. I like getting these different perspectives, and I learned so much from you, so it's always a blast having you on, getting to shoot. Can I say shoot the shit? Yeah, it's my show.
Let it go.
So another great time, brother. Thank you. And thank you all, as always, for watching. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And we will see you next time. Peace, y'all.